step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, everyone? Matt Savoca here, and we are back on the Awesomeo Fantasy Football Channel, and we are talking quarterbacks today. Late round quarterback is a strategy that if you have spent maybe 4 seconds researching fantasy football, you have probably come across this general strategy. It's been around for over a decade. There's been a book about it. People have made entire careers about late round quarterback. So we are going to be talking about the quarterbacks outside the top 12 in our expert consensus rankings and talking about some of the ways that we think they have some upside. Obviously, they have some downside, but some of the ways that they could help you win fantasy leagues this year. And to break it down with me today, got my buddy Nick Lepre. Follow him on Twitter at NotoriousFNTSY. What's going on today, man?
I'm doing great. Yesterday was my birthday, so shout out to me.
Yes, shout out to you. Happy birthday, dude.
Thank you, thank you. So today's video is going to be very interesting because if you guys watch a lot of the videos on the Best Ball channel, we basically never do the late round strategy when it comes to quarterbacks in Best Ball. But in redraft leagues, I am a very big proponent, if that's even the correct word to use here. I'm someone who, in basically every single draft, does late round quarterback unless it's a super flex league.
New age, new big words in the vocabulary. Wow, you love to see it, Nick. And yes, exactly. And one of the things we talked about in a recent video on that Best Ball channel, follow us over on the Awesomeo Best Ball channel, by the way, we were talking about how the value of a waiver spot in a regular fantasy league is not something that you can take for granted. The fact that you can churn these late round quarterbacks, the fact that you can decide week to week, even though there are other players fishing for free agents in your leagues as well, whether you want to keep a quarterback or not, that is invaluable to this strategy. And so that's why it's important to break down these players kind of against each other, because there are some tiers within these groups, and some of them have different types of upside. Some of them have higher floors, some of them have higher ceilings, but very low floors, and some of them need a lot of things to go right in order to be valuable in fantasy football. You ready to dig in, bud?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, we're going to go with 4 different categories of quarterbacks today as we break down this list. So you're going to hear us just breaking down the entire list instead of just going in order of any kind. We're going to be talking about trying to put these quarterbacks into separate groups. So the first category we got today, Nick, is quarterbacks that you believe outside the top 12 will contribute consistent standalone value in fantasy football. We got the list here on the show sheet. Are there any names that stick out to you right off the bat?
Yeah, there are 2, but I will just go with 1 so I don't steal yours in case this happens to be yours as well. So I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. Now, Matt Ryan hasn't really been the Matt Ryan from a couple of years ago where he's the MVP of the league. They make it to the Super Bowl. He hasn't been that Matt Ryan, but you can also see that, hey, the Atlanta Falcons just weren't very good, right? He was getting laid out in these games. The wide receiver core was decimated last year. They didn't really have all that much to give for Matt Ryan. So now going from that team to Indianapolis, that seems to be set up for success. While Carson Wentz didn't play amazing last year, I think why Carson Wentz was somewhat successful was because of the offense there, because of the players on the Indianapolis Colts. And I think that the offense has gotten even better in 2022. I understand that this is going to be a team that runs the ball a decent amount because they have Jonathan Taylor, right? Mm-hmm. Any team with a running back like Jonathan Taylor is going to want to run the ball. But at the end of the day, I think that Matt Ryan in 2022 based upon where he is going in fantasy drafts, is an absolute steal. And I think that he could easily finish inside of the top 12 and be a quarterback that you don't really need to stack anyone with. He's just a guy that you could just throw into your lineup and be very happy with for a lot of weeks during the season.
I think that's very intelligent. I think Matt Ryan is an efficiency upgrade in all areas except for maybe the deep ball. And Carson Wentz was wildly erratic and turnover prone with the deep ball. So the fact that he has a stronger arm than Matt Ryan at their respective points in their career, it's kind of a moot point, right? Because if you get efficiency at the areas that you want to exploit, particularly about 5 to 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage, Matt Ryan can absolutely do that better than Carson Wentz right now. And I think that's a great point. You know, you don't need to get Michael Pittman in those third and fourth rounds to feel like you have a decent value there. I want to talk about the exact player they traded away, Carson Wentz. And, you know, I was kind of debating this back and forth, but really this has to do with the fact that the players he's being drafted around may not contribute at all these fantasy seasons. Now, obviously, we're talking about underdog ADP. That's the most relevant ADP, and that is best ball focused. We are a little bit more fantasy football focused on this particular show, but still, Carson Wentz coming off the board outside the top 25 quarterbacks. Guys, he's expected to play the whole year, and he was 10th in the NFL last year in passing touchdowns. Last time I checked, passing touchdowns are pretty good. He was also 12th in the NFL in carries with 57, 3.5 per game. So the rushing aspect of his game has not fully gone away as his age has gone up. He actually only had one rushing TD, so he actually has some positive regression in the rushing category. And based on the price, which is essentially free, and the fact that I don't feel like I need to game stack with Washington in drafts, I think Carson Wentz is a value. You're going to have some games where you're going to be just pulling your hair out because of the way he throws interceptions at inopportune times. We're still talking about a player who is number 4 in deep ball accuracy rating, according to playerprofiler.com, number 10 in overall QBR. This is not an unstartable player, and he's outside the top 25 in ADP. So that's where I want to start. Carson Wentz completely cast off, and I do think the Colts got a steal. Not saying both teams didn't upgrade, but I think Carson Wentz, based on his current ADP, is that quarterback with standalone value I want to highlight. Now, you don't have to say anyone here, so I'm not forcing you. Any other players before we move on to category 2, and that is more of a focus on stacking. These are more players that we think that you don't really need anybody else from their team. Just grab that quarterback and you're going to get, you know, 15, 18, maybe even 22, 25 points on a good day each week. Anybody else?
Yeah, I think the other answer here, the other guy I was thinking of, I wasn't sure if you're going to take him or not, is Ryan Tannehill. While there is a lot of noise about maybe Malik Willis could take his job, at the end of the day, Ryan Tannehill had a down year last year, right? What we saw last year was not the normal for Ryan Tannehill when he was on the Tennessee Titans in Miami. He was very up and down. He wasn't very consistent. He did have some good times, but then he would get hurt, right? He'd just start playing good, and then bam, he's hurt. But in Tennessee, he has been very healthy. He's been very consistent aside from last season. Now, the reason why he wasn't very consistent last season, the reason why he really had a huge downfall, if you remember, up against the Bengals, he played like absolute shit in that game. But during the season, AJ Brown's hurt. Julio Jones is hurt. He's thrown to Nick Westbrook, Ekaine. He's thrown to these other guys. Now, I understand that Treylon Burks isn't going to completely fix this offense, right? Because if you're Ryan Tannehill, you'd rather have AJ Brown. But at the end of the day, I think that what we saw last year, we're just bound to see a bounce back. And I think people are heavily discrediting Ryan Tannehill. And I think there is a high possibility that he finishes inside the top 12 at the quarterback position. The only downside with Ryan Tannehill, and why I understand why some people have him ranked significantly lower, is because of the fact that this is a very run-heavy offense, right? When you have Derrick Henry, it's kind of similar to what I brought about with Matt Ryan and how they have Jonathan Taylor, right? You're going to want to run the ball if you have Jonathan Taylor. You're going to want to run the ball if you have Derrick Henry. But at the end of the day, I think Ryan Tannehill is very talented, and he does have some sneaky rushing upside that – and in reality, I really just don't think where they drafted Malik Willis, that is going to concern Ryan Tannehill's startability this season. I think he plays every game as long as he's not hurt.
Full agreement with you there. Actually, if you look from the, at the advanced stats, I don't want to get into the weeds here with the advanced metrics in the middle of May, but if you look at the advanced stats for quarterbacks between 2019 and include 2021, so all the way, all these three seasons in there, and you look at some of my favorite advanced stats, expected points added and completion percentage over expected, your ability to complete a pass better than the average quarterback in the NFL, there are three players that stand out in the top tier of that composite rating right now. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill. Now, obviously, 2021 was well down compared to 2020 and 2019. But even if you just include those three seasons, he's been one of the most efficient quarterbacks on a per-pass basis in the entire NFL. I really, really like that choice. Before we move on here, I just want to give a huge shout out to our presenting sponsor today. And we've already talked about them a little bit, how we're making different strategic choices when we play regular fantasy football and when we play best ball on Underdog Fantasy. They have some of the coolest best ball tournaments I have ever seen in my entire life. The Best Ball Mania 3 tournament is up and running right now. $2 million to first place, $1 million to second place, $1 million to the regular season champion. One player is going to be out there just kicking their feet up during the playoffs with a juggernaut team already knowing they won $1 million. That sounds like a really fun tournament to me. If you want more fun, maybe a little bit lower entry, because that one's a $25 entry. How about the Puppy Tournament, which just lost $5 entry, 500K to first place? And guys, when you use promo code AWESOMO, you get up to a $100 first match deposit bonus. That's good for four entries to the Best Ball Mania Tournament, or maybe even 20 free entries to the Puppy Tournament. We talk a lot about having multiple rosters and strategies you can take when you have multiple entries in the same tournament on Underdog. Why not take that lower stakes option and get those reps in, get those 20 free reps in on Underdog today? Truly, that is the best way to make yourself a better player. Like, we can talk about how this promo code helps AWESOMO. Certainly does. You guys help us out when you use that promo code, for sure. But this is the way you help yourself. Take the free money, go sign up, go use those reps on drafts, get in real draft rooms with real people, and it helps you a ton when you get to your home league draft, whether that's July 4th or all the way over at Labor Day or whatever. You're already going to have all that practice in there. So I can't stress it enough. Go to Underdog Fantasy, use promo code AWESOMO, get that first match deposit bonus, and get in there today. All right, we move on to our second category of the quarterback position. These are quarterbacks that are worth it, particularly when we're stacking. Now, these are probably quarterbacks that overlap with the category we just talked about. They have some standalone value, but when paired with their best receivers, whether that be a receiver or tight end or a combination of the two, they are more than the sum of their parts. They have a special upside, if you will. So if you have one quarterback or two quarterbacks that fit that bill, hit us with it.
Yeah, I believe that answer would be Derek Carr. I think that Derek Carr stacked with Davante Adams, but it doesn't necessarily have to be Davante Adams, right?
Because this is the right answer. Go ahead.
You can go. Yeah, they also have Hunter Renfro. They also have Darren Waller. Now, I'm not saying in a normal redraft league that you want to be stacking Davante Adams, Hunter Renfro, all of them together, right? But I'm fine drafting Davante Adams and also drafting Darren Waller with Derek Carr. I am perfectly fine doing that. Derek Carr last year, again, he is not a top five quarterback in the NFL, but he is a quarterback that has enough talent to where a guy like Davante Adams could really elevate his upside. And this is a team that is going to want to feed the ball to Davante Adams. They didn't trade those picks. They didn't give him all that money to just cast him to the side, right?
No, they didn't.
They're going to give Derek Carr a huge opportunity here to have his best year in the NFL. His best year was, what year was that? 2015-16, when he got hurt and he was looking like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He hasn't quite lived up to that recently, but I do think in 2022, with the team that they have in Las Vegas, with the fact that you can get Davante Adams, Darren Waller, I think that Derek Carr is going to boom this season, especially with the stack and the division they play in. There are potentially six humongous games that could come out of Derek Carr and Davante Adams.
Well said. And here's the thing. Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers had a special connection, particularly near the goal line. There was no better combination of quarterback and wide receiver inside the 5-yard line. They had all these tricks and they were just stymieing defenses all over the place. And I want to contrast that with the fact that Darren Waller last year, as the potential target hog for this offense, had two total touchdowns last year, just 3.6% of his targets. They had trouble at the goal line. So this is a specific need for this offense. And you mentioned the mid-2010s when Derek Carr had his best season. Guess what? He had Amari Cooper on the outside, but he also had Michael Crabtree, who had one of the highest touchdown rates in the NFL during those few years because there was so much attention on other players. So don't be surprised if you grab Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow instead of Devontae Adams and you end up with a whole bunch of touchdowns with that Derek Carr stack as well. I just think more touchdowns are coming because they're also going to be playing in even more shootouts against Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. This is the right answer, in my opinion. But you should have gone with your boy, Tua Tagovailoa, who has a completely reloaded offense in Miami, a new coach in Mike McDaniels, kind of known from the Kyle Shanahan tree to be run heavy. But when you have players like Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, their ADPs are dropping, not rising because of this change in offense, I think you have a huge opportunity for upside here. This is a make or break season for Tua Tagovailoa because you know this franchise is likely to move on if Tua can't make it happen with this offense. They all also have Mike Gesicki. They have a ton of talent, and it's no excuse this time for Tua. The efficiency numbers weren't what I want to see last year from him, but the offense is just completely revamped, even the backfield completely revamped. In some efficiency metrics, he was okay. That deep ball accuracy rating, he was sixth in the NFL, number two in red zone accuracy rating, a place where young quarterbacks actually tend to struggle. And he was top 10 in the NFL in true completion percentage. The dude is accurate. Got to be a little bit more aggressive, especially with with Tyreek on the field on the outside.
Yeah, and if you're someone who's worried about the deep ball, even though Savoca just said he has a good deep ball, there are people that are going to point to, oh, he's not good at throwing the deep ball. He doesn't need to throw a perfect deep ball for Tyreek Hill to get the ball, right? You don't need to throw the ball 40 yards. All Tyreek Hill has to do is run 6 yards on a slant, and he can take it to a 99-yard touchdown, right? We all know that that is possible. I think that a lot of people are heavily sleeping on Tua this year, and I think that with the weapons in Miami, if you're able to stack Tua with Tyreek, stack Tua with Jaylen Waddle, I think you are in the perfect position to potentially have drafted a guy outside the top 12. In some drafts, he goes outside the top 18, and he could be a guy that easily finishes inside of the top 5 because he also has sneaky rushing upside. He's very good at rushing the football, and they like to use him at least last season. Maybe it'll be a little bit different with Mike McDaniel, that they like to use him inside of the red zone and on the goal line.
Yep. Well said. I agree with everything there. The other sneaky answer for me, if I could say one more, is Kirk Cousins. Now, traditionally, you haven't actually needed Kirk Cousins within the usually very compact fantasy scoring trio of Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson. It's honestly get any of those three, hopefully two of those three, and then profit. You don't even need Cousins with him. But I think with them moving away from that Kubiak run-heavy system, you could see them attempt to air it out a little bit more, which could inflate the passing numbers for Kirk Cousins, maybe even increase his passing TD rate. That would help from a stackability standpoint, even in regular fantasy football. He's my wild card answer here. We have him just under Tua Tagovailoa in our expert consensus rankings right now.
You know, it's funny. When I initially was thinking about the quarterbacks that are worth stacking, off the top of my head, it was Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, and I went with Derek Carr. And then you went Tua, which I thought was also a good pick, but I like Kirk Cousins a ton. I think that people are heavily sleeping on Adam Thielen right now, where Adam Thielen is going. Now, his ADP has moved up, right? A couple of months ago, I made a video talking about Adam Thielen, and his ADP was in the 100s on Underdog. Now it's all the way up to the 70s, 75. So people are starting to wisen up on Adam Thielen. But even then, where he's getting drafted is still a little bit disrespectful, right? He's outside the top 32 wide receivers, and he could easily be a top 24 guy based upon touchdowns alone. The touchdown connection with Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen is amazing, so I do like that stack a ton. And obviously, it's pretty easy to stack a quarterback with one of the best receivers in the NFL in Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, it's one of those things where in previous years, if I got Justin Jefferson or even Thielen when he was a little bit younger, it wasn't like I was really feeling the need to get Kirk Cousins. This year, there is a little bit of extra upside, and I think you outlined why there is. Okay, guys, we are going to move on to category 3. Before you do, just make sure to like and subscribe to this, like this video, subscribe to the channel. You guys know what to do. Hit the notification bell too, so that you know when we're going live. We do some live drafts over at the Awesome-O Best Ball channel. And while you're at it, go like the Awesome-O Best Ball channel. Go subscribe over there, where we're kind of separating out your fantasy football advice and your best ball advice. We're mixing in the strategies for both, but we thought it was very important to make sure that you had a one-stop shop for all your best ball needs, especially with sites like Underdog dropping so many cool tournaments. I digress. We move on. Let's talk about quarterbacks who are all about upside. Maybe they have a lower floor. Maybe they won't even start to begin the season. Some of them, that might be true. But at the end of the day, you're going to be starting them in the playoffs on championship contending rosters come January of this year. Or I guess December, it's the end of the fantasy season. But come the end of the fantasy season, you're going to be starting these players because they have league-winning upside. Who's the first quarterback on our list that comes to mind?
All right, well, I'm not going to go with the first quarterback that comes to mind because I think there are two obvious ones on this list inside of the top 33 quarterbacks. So I'm going to go with a little out-of-the-box answer here, and we're going to go with famous Jameis Winston, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Now, I read on Twitter, maybe there's a little bit of worries about Michael Thomas. I'm assuming Michael Thomas is going to play. Seems like there's always worries about Michael Thomas, but they have Michael Thomas, they have Chris Olave, and they have Jarvis Landry. They still have Alvin Kamara. They still have Mark Ingram. It's not like Mark Ingram's going to greatly help out Jameis Winston, but they still have this really solid offense. They have a fine offensive line, and I really think people don't remember how good Jameis was in the past for the Saints and how good he was in Tampa Bay. Now, I'm not going to claim that Jameis Winston isn't going to throw 20-plus interceptions, because maybe he does, right? That's always in the wheelhouse for Jameis. But this is something we've talked about before, where sometimes if Jameis throws an interception, that might actually be beneficial to him, because now he just gets the ball right back. Jameis doesn't give a shit. He's just going to throw the ball again. He does not care. And that's what's so fun about Jameis Winston. He is a humongous risk. But his upside, if Jameis is able to somewhat mitigate throwing a million interceptions, and with the offense they have set up in New Orleans, would you be surprised at all if Jameis Winston was a league-winning quarterback where he elevates your team through the Super Bowl? Sure, the risk is there, but I honestly believe that Jameis Winston does have that humongous upside. He's not a crazy rushing quarterback, right? He's not going to rush for a million yards, but he does have some rushing upside baked in.
This was on my list. This is far from crazy, my friend. Jameis Winston, you know, he was playing very conservatively, in my opinion, way too conservatively.
Yeah.
But the team was actually doing pretty well before he went down with that season-ending injury. I do think that's going to limit his rushing upside. I think it's just natural that he's going to try to stay in the pocket more, but that might actually increase his deep ball output. You know, I'm not sure what to expect fully from this New Orleans Saints offense in 2022, but they got super, super conservative in the beginning of 2022 after being aggressive for so many years with Drew Brees. I think we see a positive regression in terms of being pass happy this year because they have such a better receiving core than they did a season ago, especially if Thomas is able to come back, even adding Olave and Landry and Adam Trautman, I guess. you got a much better core than Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, who were playing serious snaps a year ago. I think Deshaun Watson is sort of like a fake answer, because if we knew how many games he was playing, I don't think he'd be in our 13 to 32 in our quarterback list. So I'm not going to go there, but technically the games that he plays, he's probably going to be more likely than not QB 8 or better. Yeah. 3 out of every 4 weeks he plays. So that's easy. The tougher answer and when to time this, I think Trey Lance is a player who's going to be starting week one. That's a big prediction. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be traded. And I think in even just the limited amount of playing time we saw from Trey Lance where he was fully healthy, he showed that this team wants him to run. He's going to run a ton. And the floor and ceiling are just so high for these Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray-esque players who have scramble ability. They also get designed runs for them within the offense. I don't care that Deebo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell need their touches in this offense and that Kyle Shanahan is always doing some sort of trickery with Kyle Juszczyk. If he's got a rushing quarterback like Trey Lance, he is going to use that race car, bring him out of the garage immediately. I think he has tremendous potential in his first full year as a starter.
Yeah, there's a reason why they drafted him so highly, right? It's because they believed in him. They thought that Trey Lance could be the guy. I completely agree with you that Trey Lance will be the starter week one. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be gone, maybe not soon, right? Because it takes a while to facilitate these trades for some reason, even though Jimmy Garoppolo is still a serviceable quarterback one in the NFL. It takes a while. Maybe it won't even happen until August. But at the end of the day, Trey Lance is going to be the number one guy. They have a million weapons for Trey Lance to use there. I understand Brandon Ayuk hasn't really put it together yet, right? And then you think he put it together, and then Kyle Shanahan throws him in the doghouse, right? He's not doing anything. I don't know what happened with that, but at the end of the day, Trey Lance has Debo. He has Brandon Ayuk. He has George Kittle. They have a couple of other wide receivers as well, and they have Elijah Mitchell, who's a not upper echelon. He's not like a Christian McCaffrey receiving back, but he does have receiving potential. I think that Trey Lance in 2022 was probably the easiest answer here, right? If we knew he was the starter, he would probably be in the top 10, top 8 of most people's rankings. The reason why he's outside of our rankings is because there is still that unknown, just like you said with Deshaun Watson, which were the two answers off the top of my head, Deshaun Watson and Trey Lance. And that's why I went a little bit outside of the box with Jameis Winston. But again, I do like Trey Lance a ton, and the rushing upside there is just amazing. You just have to draft him because of the rushing upside alone.
Speaking of rushing upside, if you're looking for the last possible dart throw where you can actually get a floor and ceiling ability from rushing, the last person on the list is Marcus Mariota. Way down there, we actually have him at quarterback 24, but that's best ball related. We actually would probably have him a little bit lower in fantasy football rankings. This offense in Atlanta, not a lot of high expectations. Not saying it's going to be Trey Lance, but we do know that that quarterback is going to be starting week one. And when we last saw him on the Raiders, he was very, very rush heavy. And I do think this is a player that deserves a second chance. That's a real dart throw. That's a real shot in the dark. But just wanted to throw that out there. That is the last player on my list that I feel like has any true probability of league winning upside. We move on to the final category, the downer category, but we got to talk about it. We've mentioned a lot of players already, and you know, you'll see lots of variation from draft room to draft room on how teams draft quarterbacks 13 through 30. So that's why I liked kind of mixing and matching, grouping them into categories. But this one, this is the stay away category. The quarterbacks you're not touching. Obviously, we hate ADPs, not players. When players are well below ADP, maybe we'll take a chance on them if we're doing multiple drafts, but we don't have to, especially on our home league. Who's that quarterback or two quarterbacks you're staying away from in 2022?
The most obvious one to me is going to be my boy, Drew Lock. I love Drew Lock more than anything. I want Drew Lock to succeed. I have dreams where Drew Lock wins a Super Bowl because I like Drew Lock. He's funny, sings the songs on the sideline, very interesting character. But at the end of the day, Drew Lock has not done it yet at the NFL level. That's exactly what he was doing. He just hasn't done it at the NFL level. He's shown some pizzazz. But if he ever was to get it done, I just don't think it's in Seattle, if I'm being honest with you. I don't think with the team Seattle has, with the offensive line they have, that Drew Lock is going to be very successful. I understand they have Metcalf. I understand that they have Tyler Lockett. But there's also big competition for Drew Lock. And I don't think Pete Carroll is so sold on Drew Lock to where if he underperforms, like, would you be surprised at all if Geno started, right? If they just took him out for Geno. I wouldn't be surprised if Geno fucking started week one, and that sucks. I like Drew Lock. I think he's interesting, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to touch him at all. I understand that's probably a safer pick in terms of guys you don't want to be drafting. But at the end of the day, I think some people might see the light in Drew Lock and pounce on him. I'm just staying away.
Well, I'm a person who's drafting Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, thinking that they are talented players in now pretty tough situations. And then maybe you're inclined, if you're one of those people who drafted Lockett or Metcalf, to then go, or maybe even Noah Fant, to then go and say, like, well, maybe stack them up with Drew Lock. I think there's also a possibility here that the Seattle Seahawks don't have their current week one starter on their roster right now. Baker Mayfield still very much in play. Geno Smith is the one that they say has the inside edge to the starting position because he was the one who was there in previous seasons. Drew Lock is the one who was traded as part of the trade. He was basically, you know, not an add-on piece, but just part of making the value work for Russell Wilson moving teams. I kind of agree with you here. The only upside here is just the fact that he has Noah Fant, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and a lot of quarterbacks would like that kind of receiving core to throw to. The way I'm looking at this is I know second-year quarterbacks can absolutely make a huge leap where we see them enter that upper echelon and sort of not leave for a decade or more sometimes. I'm okay letting my league mates try to figure out which one of Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, or even Mac Jones and Zach Wilson make that jump. I'm almost at the point where unless I'm in an underdog fantasy draft and I'm trying to beat thousands of players, I don't even want Zach Wilson, who in my opinion has the best offensive core of skill players on the outside for all those that four quarterback. Those four quarterbacks I mentioned, excuse me, but I just don't want to guess. I just don't want to figure it out. And I don't think that the free agents that Jacksonville signed are good enough. I certainly don't think the offseason that the Bears had was good enough. And I don't think that Joe Judge and Matt Patricia are offensive gurus that are going to help Mac Jones suddenly become a pass-heavy, fantasy-friendly quarterback. I'm just staying away from these young quarterbacks until one of them proves they can be a value in fantasy.
I mean, Joe Judge is definitely an offensive guru. Remember when he ran the ball on like the 1 yard line? It was like third and a million and they QB sneaked with Jake Fromm. That was an excellent play call. My pick would have been Mac Jones. I really think that Mac Jones is a good NFL quarterback. I think that he could take the Patriots to the playoffs. They could win a couple of games, but I don't think that Mac Jones is a fantasy quarterback. He literally is a statue in the pocket. He's not going to run the ball at all, and he's not going to throw for 4,000 plus yards, right? He doesn't have that Tom Brady, Jameis Winston, like these guys that don't really run the ball, Aaron Rodgers that could throw for a million yards. That's just not in the wheelhouse, in my opinion, for Mac Jones yet. Could it be a couple of years from now? Definitely, but this isn't dynasty. This is redraft fantasy football, and right now what I know about Mac Jones, what I know about the Patriots is that I feel pretty confident saying that Mac Jones is just going to be average, like the definition of mid. Like if you're in a two quarterback league, you draft him as your second quarterback, you play him, he's not going to screw you, he's not going to do something fantastic for you, he's just safe. And in a one quarterback redraft league, what am I doing with safety? I'd rather draft some crazy quarterback, like I don't even know, like Daniel Jones, right? And then just
that's actually the player I was looking at. Yeah. Because at least Daniel Jones, when things go to complete shit in the pocket, he's going to run.
Yeah.
Mac Jones will just slide down and wait for third down.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you just draft Daniel Jones, then if Daniel Jones doesn't work out, then guess what? You can just cut him and pick someone else up. Like I would rather have a bunch of like Davis Mills. Like I feel like maybe Davis Mills might be sneaky good. I'd rather draft Davis Mills than Mac Jones.
I kind of agree. And, you know, we didn't mention some starters who look like they probably are going to play most, if not the whole season. Jared Goff, Davis Mills, Sam Darnold, the greatest rushing quarterback of our generation. As of now, they're all going to play unless hurt for their teams. And they're sort of sitting in that no man's land outside quarterback 28 in our consensus rankings. And still, it's kind of free fantasy points. Interesting if you've completely punted the position. This is a really great breakdown, Nick, and I think it helps people a lot to kind of put these quarterbacks into categories because then they can sort of flesh out their draft. Even in super flex leagues, this list and this show is valuable because it kind of shows you based on that first quarterback you took in the top tier, here's how you lay out that second tier of quarterbacks. Great job. Great analysis. Follow this man at Notorious FNTSY on Twitter. I am at Draftaholic on Twitter. He's Nick. I'm Matt. We will be back soon on the Osmo Fantasy Football Channel. We'll see you guys later.